Thank you for listening to Flow Working, the Entrepreneurs Podcast. Make sure you find, follow, and please review us on your favorite podcast platform. If you're interested in being a guest on my show, you can sign up at flowworking.net. I'm your host, Megan Anderson. More people than ever are starting the entrepreneur journey and learning a lot in the process. On this show, I sit down with regular people who are running all types of businesses to discuss the ideas, opportunities, and strategies they're using to build, grow, and thrive as an entrepreneur. In this episode, I sat down to chat with longtime entrepreneur Vincent Puglisi about the benefits of a powerful network, how a single hour of generosity daily changes almost everything, and why most entrepreneurs are approaching their business backwards. Hello, welcome to this episode. I'm your host, Megan Anderson, and today I'm joined by my guest, Vincent Puglisi. Vincent's the founder of Total Life Freedom Community. Living a life of freedom is of huge importance to Vincent and his wife, Elizabeth. They homeschooled their three boys and believed that having control of your time, your money, and the work you do leads to ultimate life freedom. While teaching others to do the same, the movement of Total Life Freedom was born. Vincent, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have a conversation with you today. How are you?
Megan, I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes. So I think along the line of Total Life Freedom, you and I were chatting, and I think it'd be a fantastic story just to share a little bit about your journey as to how did you end up where you are in life today as far as where you live in Florida?
Yeah, it's new. So this is all, we have three boys. They're right now 16, 14, and 11. And like I said, we homeschool. So we kind of had freedom, right? That was what we've worked towards for the last, since our youngest son was born. There's a whole story behind that. Our oldest son. But we were traveling around every winter. So we lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we loved it. Like I mentioned, like mid-April through mid-October, we loved everything about it. But once, you know, Halloween came around, all of a sudden every Halloween we're freezing and we're bundling up and it's raining. And we're like, wait a second, we have freedom. We've built this. We can work from wherever we want. Yep. And we homeschool. So we're like, why don't we travel a lot? So what happened, my first book, Freelance to Freedom, was published in 2018. So we went on a three-month, what we called a thank you tour, which was we went cross-country. And instead of trying to like do book signings, we just said thank you to all the people that helped us and met people, influencers, you know, people like Seth Godin, friends along the way that helped us and gave the book and met people in person along the way. So we did it with the kids. That was 3 months, 23 states, went through Colorado, loved it. And then we're like, why don't we do this every year? So every year we're like, okay, the next year we went to Arizona for 3 months. Then we went along the Gulf Coast, a couple of different states. And then in 2020, we came to the West Coast of Florida, which I'd visited for work. I was a sports photographer for many years. So I'd come to Tampa and St. Pete, but never extended time. We were here for 4 months up and down the coast. And about 2 months in, we were like, we absolutely love this. And we always talk about moving. We were like, oh, maybe this place, maybe that place. Came very close to moving to Arizona at one point. But halfway through it, I'm not sure when it was, but like we were looking at possibly, you know, buying a place that would be a vacation place.
Sure.
And we said, why don't we just move? We, you know, I know the summers will be tough, but summers are tough almost everywhere. And we got a, we'll have a pool and a beach. So we literally said, we're moving. Along the trip, we told our kids, like, we're going to be moving here. And they're like, what? Like, yeah, I think we're moving here. And we got home. And usually I'm the one that pushes this stuff. And my wife's much more stable and level-headed. And no joke, I came upstairs to our bedroom and she was packing boxes. On the first day we got home, I said, what are you doing? She goes, we are not backing out of this this time.
Oh, nice.
And she took initiative and then we put the house up for sale within a month and rented a place here for a couple months while we in Venice, while we figured it all out. Moved on July 1st, 2021. The first 2 months were crazy, figuring everything out, housing market and everything. And then we bought a house here in Bradenton, which we love, neighborhood. And we are, you know, over the moon. We everybody just loves me.
I love that. I think that's just really a great part about the entrepreneurial story and journey is all of us, every entrepreneur out there started to have that life freedom, that I can work from wherever. I am location independent. And it sounds like you really took that bull by the horns, was like, yes.
Well, the thing was,
this is how we
live. And it's, I think it's easier now. Harder and easier in some ways. Easier to start, easier to make income that way. We started on that journey 16 years ago. Our oldest, excuse me, he's about to be 17. we had no, here's the way it happened. We were both newspaper photographers, my wife and I, and not making very much money, but we were top of our field. Like, we were winning major awards. It didn't translate to income. Nice. It didn't translate to like, oh, you're doing so good for us, we're gonna pay you a lot more. But we're winning national and international awards. I won International Sports Photographer of the Year. I mean, it was the biggest award you could win. And I was making $32,000 a year and got a 3% raise with that award, with a baby on the way. So we're a month away from having our first son. My wife wants to stay home with him, so she wants to reduce her hours. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling like a giant loser. Like, I have this career that people think is a great career, but I can't even support my family now.
Yeah.
Because we were both, it was a two-income family, and we only had to take care of ourselves. So I'm panicking. So I get this 3% raise. I go home, and I call my dad back in New York, because that's where I'm from, to see if I could do extra work for him in his business. Mm-hmm. And he tells me no. And I'm like, even my dad's rejecting me now. It's the worst day ever. And he said something that changed my life. He said, I've been trying to tell you this. You haven't listened. He said, maybe you'll listen now. He said, but you have a skill. And this is where I think it's relatable to so many entrepreneurs. He said, you have a skill, but you're not using it correctly. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you've become a really good photographer. He goes, you weren't when you started. Like everybody, you start off and you're grinding it and you're learning. But now you're doing all this stuff. You're doing it almost effortlessly and you keep winning awards and you keep getting better. He goes, but you're settling. You're settling for $32,000 a year in benefits. He said, you can shoot pro sports for magazines. You could do weddings. You could do corporate. He goes, he literally said, you can do whatever you want. You can set your income how you want it to be. You can expand on it if you want, unlike most jobs. You can create your own time schedule. Like, if you don't want to do work, you don't have to. And you're settling. And Megan, that, it just hit me hard. And I hung up the phone with him and I was like, he's so right. And usually parents are like, no, get the steady job. Like, get the benefits.
Yeah, my dad, that's my parents,
right? Yeah. And my mom too, because my mom had a steady government job. My dad was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I got to see both at the dinner table. And I always liked my dad's way better than my mom's, because my mom's came home every night and complained about her job. And my dad in his business actually had to do something about it. She couldn't change anything. So I was like, well, what am I? I don't know anything about business. I don't know how to run a business. I've been an employee.
Yeah.
So I started calling the different photo studios around town, and none of them, see if I could be, you know, work with them and learn. None of them.
Sure.
None of them said yes. And I took the phone book, if you remember a phone book, and I threw it against the wall. And I don't know why, but I have this, there's this saying that we hear, like, well, if you can't beat them, join them. I said, well, that doesn't work. I said, well, I said, if we can't join them, we're going to beat them. And I got kind of this, and I called my 8-month pregnant wife and I said, we're starting a business, which is not what you want to do to an 8-month pregnant wife. Right.
It's a risky move, but sounds like it paid off a little.
She was like, what? Last thing she's, but she knew the path we were going down. She knew my discomfort and I'm much more freedom and individual based in terms of that type of stuff. So we started, we did a couple of weddings for free. We did a couple for cheap. All of a sudden we started looking for opportunities and here was our thing. And I think this could be helpful. Because people are trying to start a business. A lot of people have a job. So what we did was this. We didn't increase our lifestyle. And what we said was, Elizabeth's leaving her job. We wound up job sharing. So we're going to live off of my salary, which wasn't much. But what we're going to do is we're going to take the money that we make from the business, all the income, and we're going to pay down all of our debt with it. And I'd never heard anybody do this before. And so, my whole thing was, if we reduce our debt, we reduce our risk, but at the same time, while building a business, while not getting lifestyle creep coming in, still living on a certain amount of money. So what happened was we started making money, paying down the debt. Now business income's going up, debt is going down. So in 2.5 years, when I quit my job, I quit for a 6-figure business with no debt. And quite literally the day after my last day of work was like, what do I even do with my time? Because I'm only scheduled for 25 days of work this year. And I have freedom to do whatever I want. So we had so much time with our kids.
Yeah. That's
while
beautiful.
Building out ideas, and that led to the books that we wrote. So that's kind of the, you know.
Yeah. No, I love that story. It's my favorite part about this podcast is I get to hear everybody's beautiful story of how they ended up doing what they love to do today as an entrepreneur. So one of the things I heard you say, especially when you're talking about the book tour, is that it was a thank you tour of people who are in your network, your sphere. Yep. All right. You know, and I want to share, because I'm sure when you first started, you didn't get to six figures without people.
No.
And without that network, without those referrals, without those humans that were your cheerleaders. So talk to the audience a little bit about why you're, you know, you hear the network is your net worth, and I kind of hate that thing, but it's really, it's true that the people you surround yourself with are really how you succeed. So share with us a little bit about, you know, your thoughts on that and how that may have helped you as you got started.
And that's like, I just wrote a book that came out about 2 months ago called The Wealth of Connection. And that's really what it's based on, simply because what I realized in writing this book was I'm not great at business. Right. But yet I'm on all these podcasts and these people following and speaking. So the premise of the book and this idea came from, how are we able to build successful online courses and speaking and memberships and a photography business? And how are these seven different things, often unrelated, successful one after the other? And it really came down to the relationships. And it sounds so trite. It sounds so common, but it's like, no. What happened was this, like I started coaching on this and I started teaching on this and I started watching not why people were successful, but why people were unsuccessful. And what I kept seeing was somebody coming to me and in desperation, whether real desperation or perceived desperation, would be like, I got to sell this book. I got to sell this course. Right. And they come to me and they go, so now they have this creation, this content. And then they do what I learned was they do everything backwards. Basically, you create this thing and you go, well, I want to sell it to everybody. Well, nobody wants to buy what you've got when they don't know you, right? So then they go to collaborate. Well, let me reach out to Megan and see if I can get on her podcast. Let me reach out to these people and get them to affiliate my stuff. But the truth is very few people care, and because they don't trust you. So I'm not going to collaborate with somebody that I don't trust. I'm not going to open you up to my network if I don't trust you. So then it's like, okay, well, you got to connect with them. Like, okay, well, we connect with them, but so many people do this selfishly. They do it the wrong way. Let me reach out to you and tell you what I want. Let me reach out to you and tell you how you can help me. Let me, right? Let me falsely reach out and pretend like I want to get to know you, but really my angle is to eventually get you to do this thing. So I'm seeing this with almost everyone that I'm talking to, like, and it's usually out of desperation. So what I realized, like, that's the path people go down. And what I realized, it's the exact opposite. So I started to break this whole thing down. What does it come down to? We have people that have tons of charisma and they sell stuff, but they don't have character often. Not all the time.
Yeah.
But you can sell people on charisma without having real character. We all have dealt with those people. So what I realized was, and the way I wrote this out was, and this is where it comes down to, it was a five-step process in the opposite direction, meaning your character is first. Meaning you're putting your generous goals over your selfish goals. Meaning, how can I have this interview and make sure Megan's audience is really helped by this? Not how I can sell something, but how, hey, is this an infomercial or is this really helpful? Is what you're doing helpful as a win-win or a win-win-win situation, or is it for you? Generous goals over selfish goals. So your character and then curiosity. My goodness, the amount of people I talk to that have such a lack of curiosity towards other people aside from their own goals. If you don't have character and you don't have curiosity, you're not going to form a great connection. It's going to be surface-based. It's going to be trivial. It's not going to go very far. But if you've got character and you've got curiosity, if you're interested, if you want to solve problems for others, if you want to help, that leads to really good connection. Then the fun part, which is when you've developed connection, especially over time, you know, the best collaborations I've known people for at least 3 years. It's taken time.
Yeah.
Well, then you have collaboration, which is the fourth part, which is like, okay, now I've met this person. We can speak on stage together. We can mastermind on a course. When the collaboration comes into it, it's not just your network anymore. It's their network and they trust you. So they're willing to share it with them. Yep. So now it becomes exponential. And then the last part, which everybody always starts off with, I finish with, is creation. The thing that you create, when you build that, after you have character, curiosity, connection, and collaboration, these people want to share your stuff without you having to sell it. And I don't like to sell. So if I can build a network around me that trusts me, that has influence and I can put out a book that all of a sudden they all share makes selling a whole lot easier. So that's the premise behind that whole idea.
I love that. I love the backwards way. It's so funny. As you're speaking, of course, I'm sitting in the back of my head going, oh, someone else is saying what I think. Yes. Because I've always been the give, you know, and I go to sales coaches or these webinars or these seminars about sales. And they're like, nope, you got to walk them through the process and you got to have the free thing. And I'm just like, could I just get in a conversation and be like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Here's some recommendation. If you're open to hearing it, here's what I would say to do. And just, you don't need to pay me for the information. Just do the thing. If you want to pay me to help you, great. If not, there's the thing to do. But I love that. It's just like, give, be of character and before you even get to the thing. Like so many people do, they just go off and they haul off and they're like, I can solve the world's problems. I'm going to make this course. And you're like,
who cares?
Do you even know that anyone has the problem?
Yeah. That's the whole thing. It's like, I've got this thing, but it's like, have you even been curious? That's where the curiosity comes. Have you even been curious to find out what people want? Or are you just really doing this because you think you can sell it? And I think even the customers are becoming much more aware of this stuff. They're more aware of the funnels. They're more aware of the process. They're aware of you on LinkedIn. All of a sudden, somebody's selling you whatever they're selling. And I think people are getting really tired of it. And the numbers show that webinars and all those sales ones are not converting like they did 5 years ago. But what converts over time is genuine relationships, but not from selling your friends, but from building trust where people will talk about you. Any great product, if you leave here and go, man, I read Vincent's book and it was awesome, let me tell you about it, that is way better than me manipulating you or me trying to pay you to do it. It comes from word of mouth. Yep. And I think people are going to have to come to the realization of this is how the long-term success is built out. And when you look at the people that have been around 40 years, they speak to this. This is short-term people. It's the ones that flash in the pan that teach all those, then they're gone. So
then they're gone.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think it was recently we were cleaning out our I call them the self-help books, but my partner and I were going through our books and we're like, oh, we need to get rid of a few of these. And some of them were only 2 years old, but they were all about funnel sales and, you know, freebie and the squeeze. And I'm like, and both of us went, not relevant. Relationship marketing is the only way that we operate in our businesses. It's like, no, if it's not about the human connection, like, I don't know. It's how I come at human everything.
So. And you and I seem a lot alike with that. I think for some people, they struggle with that because they struggle with the connection side of it. It's uncomfortable for them. And I think I'm an extroverted introvert. I don't think I'm a true extrovert because I get exhausted after it. But I still know, like, man, what do you want to be known for? Like, what do you want to be remembered for? You want to be remembered for numbers or relationship and helping, you know? And there's stories in my book, my auto mechanic, who was not known as, you know, a great businessman, but we took it there because he was referred to us. And then once we took it to him, we told everybody about him because the first time we took him, he didn't charge us anything. So it was just a hose. Yeah. I said, no, what do we, oh, he goes, come on. I just put a hose back together. He goes, then he brings the kids in and shows them the shop. And I'm like, well, you got a customer for life now. So we, as long as we lived in Pittsburgh, we went there and we told everybody about him. Didn't have to sell me, right? Well, what happened is I wake up one day and Elizabeth comes in. She goes, I think Scott died. Scott's the owner. Like, what do you mean? I just saw him the other day. He had a heart attack the night before, dropped dead. We had to tell our kids. The kids loved him. Every time we went there, they're giving him mints and just every time you talked to him, you felt like you were the only one, right? That type of person. Well, we go to his funeral. Like, who goes to the funeral of their auto mechanic?
Auto mechanic, right?
So we went, and I'm going around. I'm listening to these stories, and I'm listening to everybody talk about Scott. Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. No international celebrity, but packed. Everybody talking about him. And finally, I hear somebody say, like, the same stuff that we said. Like, you always feel like you're the only one. And I went up to his son, Ryan. I said, so I got to be honest with you. Like, I thought we were special. Like, I thought we were the only one. He goes, you know, he loved you, but he made everybody feel that way. And I left there thinking, I am not leaving enough of a legacy in the way that I do work, the way that Scott does. And I said, if I died tomorrow, would people talk about me at my funeral the way they did about Scott? Yeah. And I said, no, they wouldn't. I'm very driven on, this was, you know, driven on my goals. This was years ago. And man, did that have an impact on me where it's like, How do you want to be remembered? I don't want people to get away with this thinking, oh, you need to just give and be taken advantage of. That's not what I'm saying.
Feature them, be generous.
But you have to have boundaries, because there are people that will take advantage of you. But as you do this, you understand where people come from. You start putting up boundaries of like, oh, will this person be on the phone with me for 2 hours and never ask me a question? I start putting up boundaries of like, okay, you go into the 2 minute friend category. You go, because you have to understand it, because otherwise you will become an enabler. So I think it's a really difficult process to figure this out. But once your radar goes up and you can understand what's out there, you will build such tremendous relationships and networks that the people that you are in contact with, you want to refer to other people and vice versa. And when you can start connecting people together and putting them over, it just grows and grows.
It expands exponentially, for sure. You know, and so let's talk just a little bit as we're coming to a close here about generosity. Because I'm a huge believer in, you know, volunteering your time and giving your things, and we're not talking about create the freebie, click to give me your email so I can market to you kind of thing. I mean, just generously showing up to a thing and just giving, even what we're doing here, giving each other time to create some amazing content. So how has generosity, you know, played into what you're doing, and what advice do you have for people about being generous in your business?
It was something that, I'm a New York Italian guy who grew up in the journalism world there. Generosity was not a part of the conversation. Get out of my way so I can get the picture so I don't get fired. That was my life. So there wasn't a whole lot of like, and you're dealing with your competition. Now, if they get a better picture than me, I didn't realize how much I didn't enjoy that environment until I left it, because it wasn't the way that I wanted to work, but it's the way that I had to work.
Yeah.
So I kind of went about it that way. Like, hey, how can I do what I need to do to get what I need to get? And then I realized through so many conversations and through following other mentors, people like Bob Berg, the whole idea of generosity, like, well, how does that even work? How do you do that without being taken advantage of? So what I did was I started looking at these journals, right? And everybody's got a journal out for something, but they're always about your goals, which is fine. It's about your big goals. But what I learned was like, I'm like, why does it seem like we're becoming more selfish as a society, especially in the entrepreneur world? And I kept thinking about this for about a year, and I'm looking at these journals, and I'm like, I think I know why. All these things are built around what you want, which on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you add, when you pump steroids into that, like your morning affirmations and everything about you and what you're going to accomplish, it creates a very selfish environment. So what I did was I like to do the opposite. Like we talk about with the book and do things backwards. So I said, well, I'm not doing that, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an hour every day that's just giving. So I call it the hour of giving, and we're actually creating so much stuff around that. We do it within our membership program. Yep. We do challenges every week about this, because it's like, okay, what I did was every hour, every day, I will take at least 1 hour. I will leave reviews for the podcast that I've listened to, because we usually don't. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of listeners of your podcast that listen, but probably don't leave a review, not realizing how much it would help you if they did, right? Yeah. Leave reviews for books and for podcasts. I connect people that I go, hey, I was on this show. My friend over here would be a great guest. Reaching out to people unexpectedly with no expectations. Not the, hey, I want to do this. Hey, buy my stuff. It's generally, hey, I saw, you know, that you just had a baby. How's this going? How's business been? I do that for at least an hour a day in the morning. It has been the greatest thing we've ever done for our business.
Wow.
Because of the relationships that were formed from it, from the long-term connection that's come from it, but also selfishly, people, because of the reconnection, like, what are you working on? Hey, will you speak at my event? Hey, I just bought your book because I didn't even think about it. Now they're telling friends about it. Hey, tell me about what you do. Do you do coaching? All these things. And I never ask. It's just because I'm so that hour not only fulfilled me within as a going from a selfish person because I am to a generous person, but also it's the greatest thing we've ever done in terms of the growth of our business, because the relationships that happened from it expanded just from those conversations that never would have happened if I didn't reach out during that hour.
Yeah.
So that's.
No, I love that. And I love that you intentionally set it aside.
Yes.
Because it's something you're like, no, I'm intentionally giving of my time. I mean, and I think, you know, there's so many ways we could do that. I mean, okay, so, you know, we spend how many hours a day scrolling on social media? Why don't you take some of that time to get in someone's DM and say, I saw that you had a, you know, this thing going on. How'd it go? Was it fun? Tell me about it. I just want to know about it. No intention of anything other than just tell me how you enjoyed your thing or how
curiosity.
Did it go?
That's curious, right?
Yes.
Or like how many people write books and then, I mean, I see this all the time. They write books and then a month later, there's like 4 reviews on Amazon. How in the world could you have relationships for 40 years of your life and only get 4 reviews? I blame some of that on the author in some ways in terms of what they're doing, but also seeing like, who are the people that are supporting you? Why are your friends not talk? Like, because we're not trained to help each other out. We're going to buy a celebrity's product, but we're not going to help a friend out.
Not help a friend. It's crazy.
And that's been...
People have told me that I'm a celebrator. Yeah. Dude, someone tells me I've had a month sober. Someone tells me I published my book. Someone tells me I've got this thing. I'm like, biggest cheerleader here. I will like, whoop, whoop. Let's do, you know, how'd it go? Or, you know, whatever that is. It's
we
important.
Need, and I don't think it's, I don't think it's taught in schools because we need to get the better grades to beat the other person to get into the college.
Yeah.
Whereas you, how does it feel like, how do those people feel when you go, hey, you know, 1 month sober, they're like, thank you, Megan, for caring. Thank you. That goodwill that's built over time, that's the whole idea of when creation comes to the end. Because when you go to write that book, in how many years, they're going to be like, Megan was always there for me. So I'm going to be there. For-. And I think we're not there for each other enough to where that's what leads to the 4 reviews in the Amazon book because we just focused on our goals. So I really just want to, my goal with this book is to make the business world less selfish. That's my goal.
Oh, I love that. That's a great goal. I love that goal. Yes, that is a fantastic goal. Well, Benson, I've really enjoyed this conversation, just getting to know you a little bit more, see a little inside of your world and how you've found some success, connections, and even a new way of living with being generous. I love that. For the audience who's listening, if they're hearing this, watching this, and really would love to get connected to you, what's one great way for people to connect with you right now?
Email would probably be the best. I could say a whole bunch of things, but email is like you can form a conversation. And so Vincent@totallifefreedom.com is my email if anybody wants to send it there. I just always love it. Like-minded people having conversations, getting on the phone. We want to make the time for it. So that's probably the best way.
Wonderful. So to the audience, get connected with Vincent, send him an email. There's links down below to his book, to some more information if you just want to learn more or take that chance, get connected. I'm sure Vincent would love to have a conversation with you. So thank you for joining me and providing my audience with some insights and some new ahas about the entrepreneurial life. I've really enjoyed having you on the show, Vincent.
Thanks, Megan. I appreciate it.
To the audience, thank you for joining us. And I'm wishing you peace as you flow off to the rest of your business days. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of Flow Working, the Entrepreneurs Podcast. Make sure you find, follow, and please review us on your favorite podcast platform.